KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Great to have you here. Governor Jay Inslee is right now giving a news conference about how the Republican health care bill is going to affect Washington State. The governor says about 600,000 people would lose coverage if this bill rolls back the Medicaid expansion, and that another 100,000 people would drop out of Washington State's health care exchange. Well, we have an expert here. Aaron Katz teaches health policy at the... Yes, you are an expert. Don't pretend you're not. You're looking humble. He teaches health policy at University of Washington. You led the UW's health policy analysis program. How do those numbers sound?
Well,
700,000 people
right,
out of coverage.
I think from what we know, from our experience in the healthcare system in this country, which is insurance-based, and what happened... What we saw before the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, and what happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act, these numbers seem reasonable. That is, if you take away Medicaid coverage for low-income people and you fairly dramatically reduce the subsidies that people have to go out and buy individual insurance, as well as some other changes that the Republicans are proposing, a lot more people will be uninsured. I think that's true.
And why would the Republican plan that they've been running on for years now, all through President Obama's terms, why would the Republican health care offering be something that takes away so many subsidies and gets so many people kicked off coverage? I mean, is there a better case for this bill that we should hear?
Well, first of all, I think this is the first time. I mean, I know that the Republicans voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act, 48 yeah. times or whatever it was. But they never articulated a unified proposal. So back then, prior to this year, it was a little hard to know what they were proposing. Now we know at least one plan, the plan that the House Republicans have put together. And I would say it's primarily focused on a couple of things. Okay, one is reducing the amount of money the federal government spends on medical care. And they do that by rolling back the expansion of Medicaid and greatly reducing the amount of subsidies for low income, for people buying individual insurance. And that's consistent with at least one strain of Republicans in Congress who would like to see a lesser role of government in our lives.
And a lower debt.
Exactly. So it certainly does that. And it increases the financial responsibility of placed on individuals if they want to get medical care, if they want to get medical insurance and they want to get medical care. And that's also consistent with an ideology that has been expressed by at least some Republicans that people should have more, quote, skin in the game. Because if they if it's their money their money that's at stake when they decide whether or not to go to the hospital or to the doctor, they'll make, the theory goes, better economic decisions. And just like in the marketplace for shoes or cornflakes, those better decisions will result in a better system.
Can President Trump's promise that everybody's going to get coverage, you'll love it, options will go up, premiums will go down, is that realistic in that Republican world of increased choice and competition?
Well, I think the Republicans, as I've heard over the last couple of days since this bill has been formally proposed, have acknowledged that fewer people are going to be insured. So I don't think this bill fulfills the president's tweet about everybody being covered. I don't think that's the case. Their argument that more people that people are going to have more choices, I suppose that's true, because this frees up the insurance market and in fact induces the insurance market to greatly increase the number of possible plans with different benefits and different cost sharing provisions like deductibles and copayments, different services offered. I think that's also true. People will have more choices, but it's not a choice necessarily that will be affordable for many people.
We have a question from a listener. Peggy McRae wants to know whether this Republican health care bill would make her Medicare more expensive. So we talk mostly about Medicaid expansion. What about Medicare?
Right. So the CBO, the Republican plan repeals essentially all of the taxes that supported the Affordable Care Act. That's what it would do. And two of those taxes provided funding for the Medicare Trust Fund. And so, in fact, made the trust fund healthier over a longer period of time. Repealing those taxes, of course, would have the opposite effect and put the Medicare Trust Fund in greater jeopardy sooner. What effect that would have on Medicare would depend on Congress's decisions, future decisions.
Right.
So, for example, they could decide that in order to make the trust fund more secure, we have to increase the premiums on Medicare beneficiaries. So that's one possibility. But we don't know that. Mm. That's in the future.
Here's another one. A listener named Jennifer wants to know what the effect of this new health care bill would be on kids, including possible cuts to CDC vaccine programs. She says here in Washington, 1 in 2 kids is covered by Medicaid. I didn't know that. 1 in 2?
Right. So two pieces of that. So one is the direct effects of the bill if it were to be enacted and implemented. And then that is the rollback of the expansion of Medicaid and the cuts to state funding for Medicaid. And what the CBO projects is that as a result of the cuts in the federal contribution to Medicaid, states would likely reduce eligibility. So more people, including children, would likely lose coverage as a result. The other effect is really indirect. It's not so much the American Health Care Act as the proposals, particularly from the administration, to greatly cut domestic discretionary spending, which includes everything from the State Department and foreign aid to CDC funding and the like.
Back to, by the way, we're talking with Aaron Katz, who teaches health policy at University of Washington. We started out talking about the take from Washington state leaders, our governor, our insurance commissioner. And Governor Inslee says it'll cost $1.3 billion to pay for the same amount of Medicaid in our state without help from the federal government. But what's wrong with that? Why doesn't Washington state, every federal taxpayer lives in a state. If the states need to raise taxes because those benefits are so important to the state's taxpayers, why shouldn't the states pay?
So, from a political science point of view, it's a reasonable question to ask. So setting aside any questions about the type of tax, where the taxes go, who makes decisions about those taxes, yes, theoretically, if the federal government just said, well, we're just going to give Washington State all of that tax money that we are otherwise spending, okay, the state could, and just went into the coffers of the state could pay for care itself. The thing is that the state has its own limitations on how much money it can generate. So as we know, in Washington state, we don't have an income tax.
Right.
So, and we know that a big part of the tax base for the federal government is an income tax.
The income tax.
As well as some other taxes that the state doesn't have. Mm. We know the political challenges in this state of trying to get an income tax.
And pay for education.
And pay for education. So that's the second part of it. So one of us is a structural thing. We don't have the type of taxes that would likely be able to backfill, just wouldn't be able to produce the amount of money to backfill. But the second is probably even more important, and that is, as we know, the state legislature is grappling with how do we fund education, which is a requirement that the state Supreme Court has put on the legislature and has been estimated at $3 to $4 billion. Yeah. So now we're asking the state to find another $1 billion onto that. It's just politically untenable, I think.
Final question, Aaron Katz. This is not the final plan. So what is let's pick one. What is a most realistic window where listeners right now have a chance to lobby their politicians, they're members of Congress, and see change before the final plan.
Well, there's two points, decision-making points that are important for us right now. So one is this is a plan that has not yet reached the House floor.
Right.
Okay, so the House has to vote on it. So our congressional representatives in this state will have a voice. And so that's one point. If you have some views about this, contact your congressperson. And then, of course, secondly, if this plan were to pass the House, it goes to the Senate, and we have two senators.
Yeah, but is there one thing that is being horse-traded right now that listeners could say, it's the subsidies, it's the speeding up of the Medicaid expansion phase, it's the something, here's where I have sway and I'm going to use it?
Well, I don't know what's being horse-traded right now.
Okay.
But so you could choose one thing. If you had to choose one thing, it could be the Medicaid expansion, it could be the subsidies, any of those.
Okay. Yeah. This is the part where the citizens have a say.
This is the messiness of American politics.
It's happening right now. Right. And that's Aaron Katz leading us through it. He teaches health policy at the University of Washington. Thanks for your insights. Will you come back and follow this with us?
I will absolutely come back. It's a pleasure.
Excellent. My pleasure. KUOW, listener-supported KUOW, back with more of The Record in a moment.